All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. I have a photo shoot today. It is dreary outside. I don't know how that's going to look.
Yeah, it's outside, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yikes. I mean, I feel like sometimes, like, bright overcast days are good. Because then, like, you don't get any, like, weird shadowing. But if it's too dark, it's like, now your pictures are dark.
Yeah.
So, kind of weird. We'll see how it goes. I have to do my hair in a way that it's going to take me so long because I don't have a crimping iron. And I don't want to buy one because I'm like, oh my god, I don't want to own a crimping iron.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm about to put my hair into 800 tiny little braids and then flat iron them.
Love that.
Which I'm not so excited about. Yeah. But I'm excited to do this photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing those.
Yeah.
What about you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to do a rewatch of Promising Young Woman
nice.
Today with my boyfriend. Nice. So that's exciting. I think he'll really like it. I know he'll really like it. It's a great movie.
Nice.
Yeah. So not much is happening other than we watched this movie this week.
Yeah.
And it was weird.
It was weird.
We watched two very strange movies this week.
Yeah. I did a dumb thing and put it on the screen.
Furthest
away from me. When I should have put it on this screen. So let me just do a little switcheroonies.
Little switcheroo.
I got a two desktop setup over here because I'm very cool.
Yeah, for her Stardew Valley.
Yeah, you gotta have that two desktop setup for Stardew Valley. It will take no less.
So today we are doing the 2019 psychological horror film, Ma, which was co-written and directed by Tate Taylor, who directed The Help. That white savior movie.
Yes. It stars Octavia Spencer, who's also in The Help.
Yeah, that was her breakout role.
It has Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, and inexplicably, it has Allison Janney.
And Luke Evans.
Yeah! Yeah, he plays the dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played Gaston in the new live action Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, he did. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they have... The mighty have fallen.
Yes, true. And then also the Diana Silvers is her name, right? She was in Booksmart.
Yes.
And she is the lead other than Octavia Spencer in this.
This is a Blumhouse Productions company.
Yes, so it has that big name on it where it can say from the producers of Get Out and Halloween, even though Blumhouse is a very wide-reaching production company.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, whenever I see Blumhouse Productions come up, I'm always like,
could be good, could be bad.
Could be bad. They produced a lot of bad. They produced some really good, but mainly really bad.
Mainly really bad.
So, let's just get into the plot.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this only had a $5 million budget. So,
cheap. And it made $61
million. Wow.
That's insane to me.
I know. Well, they said no budget, and we're going to make it all back. So... Teenager Maggie Thompson moves with her mother, Erica, to her Ohio hometown, Erica's hometown, not Maggie's, after Erica's husband leaves her.
Yeah, so Juliette Lewis is Erica, and Maggie is Diana Silvers, who is in Booksmart.
At her new high school, Maggie befriends Haley, Darrell, Chaz, and Andy, who immediately develops a crush on her. Andy's, by the way, Andy, the minute you see Andy, you're like, okay, so that's the love interest.
That's the love interest?
Because they just make it so obvious.
Everything about this movie is so obvious.
There's no build up. It's just like he sees her and he's like, that one. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. So they convince Sue-Ann, Ma, Ellington, a veterinary technician, to help them buy alcohol because they are underage.
Yeah, there's, like, this whole sequence where they're, like, standing out in front of
the liquor store.
Which is so obvious, by the way. Like, what better way to get arrested, right?
Also, like, okay, I know that people get people to buy alcohol for them underage. I'm aware that that happens. But do they just do that? Do they just stand out in front of liquor stores?
That seems, like, one, dangerous, as we will come to see. And two, seems, like, just so obvious that the guy in the... freaking liquor store is going to be like, oh, those kids are underage and trying to get people to buy alcohol for them. I guess I'll call the cops.
Yeah, literally. What?
What are you talking about?
Everyone could see you.
Yeah.
And everyone just keeps burning them because duh.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I was like, did this happen? Does this happen in schools?
Very confusing.
That's a lot of this movie for me. Was does this happen in schools? I went to school, but I don't remember this. But I also wasn't like these kids, so yeah. It's hard to say. She buys them alcohol. Sue-Ann anonymously reports the teenagers' activities, but they are released because of the officer's history with Andy's father, Ben.
Well, okay, so she calls...
They go to this place called The Rock Pile.
So creative. So they go to The Rock Piles to, you know, smoke weed and get drunk. And she calls Andy's father, and is like, I know that your son is out of The Rock Piles getting drunk. And he's like, who is this? And she's like, I'm a little birdie. Very strange. And then the dad calls the cop.
Yes. And then the cop comes out and is a complete and total asshole. And to the point that I'm like, geez Louise, they're just kids. But then it's all a front. And he's just joking around.
Yeah, because he's like, I knew your dad in high school and he was a total dick.
And so he basically just says, get out of here. And that.
I didn't see anything. Get out of here. Leave.
So they do. But this leads a problem, right? Where are they going to drink now? So, the next day, Sue-Ann invites the teenagers to drink in her basement. Which, by the way, she bought them a box full of alcohol.
A box of alcohol.
This is day two. I'm like, the box is gone? You spent it already?
You spent it already?
I was like, what?
Who drinks alcohol that fast?
And also... the amount of drinking out of the bottle that happens in this movie.
It's like so, guys, just think, what would you expect from a high schooler getting drunk? That's exactly what you're going to get out of this movie.
I was like, this is written by a person who was like, I never drank in high school, nor did I know anyone who drank in high school. But I have seen other movies where people drink in high school. And they don't have cups.
No, right? they just do it.
They never have the forethought to get cups or mixers. So they're just drinking straight up Fireball and vodka out of the bottle and pretending like it tastes good. I'm like,
that doesn't taste good.
No mixers for these kids? Okay.
I can't even drink that without a mixer. You're telling me that these 16-year-old kids
are drinking entire bottles full of alcohol. Sans mixers in one night. Five of them.
Okay.
So anyway, day two, they buy another case of alcohol. And then basically, Sue-Ann is like, follow me down the street because I don't want anyone to see me giving you alcohol. Which, by the way, is like something that she should have done the first time. But clearly, nobody in this town gives a shit about underage drinking.
Yeah.
So obviously. So they drive... way further than down the road.
Yeah, she, like, drives to her house.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. That was one of the scarier parts. I was like, oh my god, that's freaking creepy.
I was like, why would you go?
Why would you go? Yeah, that's the question. That's these kids are stupid.
A lot of these questionable decisions mm-hmm. these kids are making. So, anyway, she ends up inviting them to drink in her basement. So, they do. And then the next time they go... Sue-Ann has decorated her basement, and many other teenagers show up at her house to party, making her popular amongst the students. Sort of.
Like, obviously, everyone knows that she's a joke, right? But, mm-hmm. like, they can use her.
Right. And she can't tell the difference, I guess.
Yeah. Or she doesn't care, maybe. Yeah.
However, her hospitality starts to annoy the group as she continuously harasses them to spend time with her.
Yeah, she starts, like, making these video messages, like, of her drinking and sends them to them. Like, don't make me drink alone!
Don't make me drink alone. That was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Don't make me drink alone. I remember that. And when I saw it, I was like, that's in the trailer. One night... Sue-Ann sees Andy and Maggie kissing and becomes jealous.
Yeah, she's had, like, this entire time it's very obvious that she's had the hots for Andy.
Yeah, which, I gotta be honest, maybe now's a good time to talk about this. I don't really get.
Yeah.
Andy, despite the fact that I know he's probably the same age as all of these children, looks like 10 years younger than them.
He looks like 13.
Which I don't, like, he's not. Like, he's the same height.
Yeah.
And is like, the voice matches.
Yeah.
And I know in my mind, he's like, that's high school age. That's perfectly reasonable high school age. And yet something about his face and the way he acts says, that's a middle schooler to
yes,
me.
Yes.
And it's very weird that everyone's like, ooh, Andy's so hot. When I'm like, I don't know, the other guy's kind of hotter.
Chaz, yeah.
Yeah, Chaz is like hotter. I think we need to focus more on Chaz. But that's just me. So yeah, she's in love with him. That's Ma.
Yeah.
Having had a crush on his father, Ben, in high school.
Yeah, throughout this entire thing, there's like flashbacks, mini flashbacks of Ma in high school. Mm-hmm. And like, in her interacting with all of these teenagers as parents.
Yes. And then, okay, so this is kind of like skipping a lot. I mean, 90% of this movie is these kids being like, Ma's weird. Let's not hang out with her. And then being like, I'm going to go drink at Ma's because they have no impulse control.
None.
They drink so much, too. I'm like, I assume that these are taking place over weekends.
Yeah.
Because at one point, she invites them to drink during the day, and they're like, I can't drink on school night.
It's a school night, yeah.
And, but then, like, they drink so much that I'm like, they must be drinking on, like, Tuesdays.
Yeah.
But I think they're supposed, I think this is supposed to be taking place over a longer period of time than the movie makes it seem.
It seems like it's 3 days. I think this is more like 3 weeks.
I think so, too. Basically, the whole time you're like, we shouldn't hang out with her. Yeah, we should. No, we shouldn't. Yeah, we should. That's like 90% of the movie. Until we get to this.
And lots of close-ups of Ma's eyes.
Yes.
Lots.
Yeah. And then we get to this. So she drugs Maggie and takes her earrings.
Yeah. So before that, she had complimented Maggie on her earrings.
Mm-hmm.
And
Maggie told her that they were her mom's and that her dad had given them to her mom, and now her mom had given them to her.
Because her parents are divorced.
Yes. But she was like, they're still for my dad, so I still like them.
Yeah.
And they're just like little gold hoops, basically.
Yeah, she drugs her with like a shot.
Yeah. The next morning, Maggie wakes up and notices her earrings are missing and she is badly bruised and cut. Scared, Maggie tells Andy that she does not want to go to Sue Ann's house anymore, and she does not want him to go either. And Andy's kind of like, I don't know. At this point, they're dating. He asks her out in, like, a very weird way. They're just, like, talking, and then he goes, do you want to go out with me? And she's like,
yes.
Yes. And she's like, wait, on a date or as your girlfriend? And he's like, both. And she's like, okay.
Very weird.
That's it.
And
it's, like, way too long drawn out for that to just be it, but it's never mentioned again. And then for the rest of the movie, they're just, like, holding hands, and everyone's like, oh, you're together now.
Oh, I love them. I love love.
And I'm like, all these people are the worst. I hate all of these people. I have some notes. We'll go back through at the end. But I started documenting every, like, weird thing that these kids did.
Yeah.
That was, like, really over-the-top mean for no reason. But we're supposed to find, like, funny and punky. And it's like, that's not fun. That's mean.
That's mean.
They're mean kids. So, anyway, to earn the group's trust back, okay, by the way, this isn't it. Eventually, like, this... So there's something else that happens between this. Basically, like, Maggie and,
Andy?
No. I think it's her Haley. Mm. Haley ends up sending out this, like, mass video message, which, by the way, all of these people communicate through videos, not texts. Very weird.
Very unrealistic. No one does that.
Being like, everybody block Ma, she's crazy, like, because she won't stop texting them.
Yeah.
And so... Ma sees this, though, because she has, like, multiple phones, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't really know. It doesn't really ever explain. But I'm assuming it's, like, multiple phones or something. And so to earn the group's trust back, Ma lies to them and says she has pancreatic cancer.
And Andy's mom died from cancer.
Yes. So as she is talking, Haley notices she is wearing a bracelet that belongs to a friend of theirs. This is a weird scene in the movie earlier where this girl is talking to them. And then... Maggie grabs her hand out of nowhere and goes, Oh my God, I love your bracelet. Where did you get it? And she's like, oh, my boyfriend got it for me for our, like, 5-month anniversary. And she's like, oh my God, so cool. And she's like, yeah. And then I let him go down on me. And I was like,
okay.
And that was the end of that scene. Another scene where I was like, we don't know how high schoolers act. Maggie doesn't know this girl at all.
No.
She's been going to school for like a month. She just grabs her wrist and is like, I love that bracelet.
They just have to establish, though.
Mm.
It's so obviously desperate to, like...
The bracelet is going to be important.
Yeah.
That's how you know. Because she grabs her hand and is like, where did you get this bracelet? It's one of a kind, baby, and that's how we know Ma's wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I already knew this was going to happen because this was in the trailers that Ma steals jewelry.
Yep.
So once again, another thing that the trailer kind of gave up prematurely, a major plot point. So the girls suspect that Sue Ann has been stealing their jewelry and they go to her house to investigate. I think Haley also is missing something. It's like a necklace or something. I can't really remember what she's missing, but
she's missing something.
The fact that that means all of these girls have been drugged and Maggie's like the only one that realizes she's been drugged is so bizarre.
Yeah, very
maybe
weird.
Ma just usually drugs them later into the night.
Yeah,
and she drugged Maggie after one shot.
Yeah.
So they go to her house to investigate. They break in. They are surprised by Jeannie, Sue Ann's daughter from a failed marriage.
And we have seen Jeannie before.
Once.
In the first day when Maggie comes to school, she sees this girl in a wheelchair and she's struggling. And so Maggie helps her, you know, gives her a push and pushes her along a little bit. And the girl in the wheelchair is like, thank you for being so nice, you know. Mm-hmm. And then says something about her mom being weird and controlling or something like that.
Yeah, and then that's it. And then we don't see her
again. And then we don't see her again until
right now.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot that she was in this movie. Yes. I kind of forgot about her, and I was like, who is that? And then I was like, oh, it's the girl from before. Because they say that. So
also, there's lots of African masks in Ma's house.
I noticed that.
And the scene where we are introduced to Jeannie is wearing an African mask.
Yes. And they're constantly scared by them. Even though I'm like, they're not scared. That scary.
No.
Her house is very normal.
Yeah. What's scary is that Ma could be in there.
Yeah. Maggie is surprised to see her walking as she uses a wheelchair at school. Jeannie tells them to leave as Sue Ann arrives home and they narrowly escape.
Mm.
Andy's father, Ben, who went to high school with Sue Ann, shows up at her job to drop off his cat.
It's Luke Evans.
Yes. Very weird. And he looks like a small town dad, though.
He really does. He really plays the part well.
I know. And he invites her out for drinks after work. Sue Ann goes home to change and meets him at the bar, where Ben confronts Sue Ann with a tracking device and asks her why his son has been at her house so much. Ben warns Sue Ann to stay away from Andy. Okay, this is also a weird scene where people are, again, just unnecessarily mean for no reason.
Yeah.
But semi-good reason. So, like, he basically pretends to flirt with her at work.
Yeah.
She gets to the bar. He kind of pretends to flirt with her for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, so
what's this?
And she's like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, it's a tracking device that I have on all my cars, including my son. And I tracked him multiple times to your address. So, like, why is he at your house?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like,
you need to talk to him about that.
And he's like, no, I'm talking to you about it. Like, why the fuck is my son at your house?
Yeah.
And she basically, like, won't tell him. But he knows. He knows the reason.
Yeah. She's trying to get revenge.
Yes. And he's like, you were a loser, and you're a loser now, and you're ugly.
And everyone knew that you had a thing for me in high school, and I never gave you the time of day.
And you're like, what? You're like, okay.
You're an adult. Why are you still, like, mad about this?
It was enough to be like, hey, leave my son alone.
Yeah.
But then you were like, you're a loser, and you'll always be a loser.
Yeah.
And I hate you, and I hated you then. And it's like, okay. Oh. This seems like you're upset.
It seems like a bit of an overkill.
It seems like you're upset about high school stuff. Okay. So, anyway, now it's flashback time.
Mm-hmm.
So, a flashback reveals that Sue Ann, who had a crush on Ben in high school, performed fellatio on him in a closet. Once she left the closet, it turned out she had been doing it to another boy, and Ben had tricked her. Ben had gotten the entire school to witness the event, including his current girlfriend, Mercedes, and a young Erica. And Sue Ann suffered devastating humiliation, from which she never recovered. I like that they say devastating humiliation, like it's not literally sexual assault.
Yeah, it's sexual assault. She was sexually assaulted.
In front of a
whole class. And Maggie's mom knew about it and was in on it.
Mm-hmm. But she didn't...
She wasn't like a mastermind.
And I guess she kind of felt bad about it at the time, but was like too scared of peer pressure to like do anything.
Because there's like a shot of her like kind of like looking like she's not laughing like everyone else is.
Yeah, but that's basically
it. That's basically it.
I guess Sue Ann saw that, though, because she knows.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
An increasingly unstable Sue Ann runs over Mercedes with her truck, killing her.
Yeah, Mercedes is the lady that Ben is having sex with at this time, and she is his old high school girlfriend.
Yes. I also think we should mention that at this point in the movie, Sue Ann and Erica have met. So, that's Maggie's mom.
Yes.
They've met because... So the vet, they have a dog, and And Erica takes her dog to that vet. Erica doesn't recognize Suanne at all at first, but then eventually Suanne comes over to her house. Mm-hmm. It's to scare Maggie.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's in the process she kind of like reconnects with Erica. Mm-hmm. And Erica's like, oh my God, we went to high school together. She was so nice. Yeah. And so Suanne kind of like likes Erica.
Yeah.
And Erica kind of like shit talks Ben and Mercedes while she's there.
Yeah, like they were so mean.
And that's what kind of makes Suanne like,
oh,
Erica's not so bad.
Yeah.
And by proxy, that means Maggie maybe isn't so bad because I cannot tell the difference between two adult humans.
Yep.
So, anyway, she kills her boss, draws blood from Maggie's dog, Louie, and then lures Ben to her house, where she knocks him out.
Yeah, she, like, takes the tracking device, or she, like, finds a way to make the tracking device look like it's at her house.
She steals the tracking device off the car, I think.
Yeah,
She goes to Andy's car and finds where the tracking device is and takes it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then brings it to her house. So Ben shows up. Then she knocks him out. Ben then wakes up completely naked, his arms tied to her bed.
Ah! This scene is so crazy, dude.
Suanne then lifts up the towel, exposing... I'm not going to say what they wrote down.
What did they say?
His
intimate, ew! Ew!
I'm going to read it.
Read it. Just read it for the audience.
His intimate manhood body part.
Who wrote this?
I don't know. You could just call it his penis.
Penis is way less weird.
Penis.
It's penis. Who cares?
With her complete palm and hand and fingers tightly... with her complete palm of her hand and fingers, tightly grabs onto his whole penis, while the other hand she holds a knife near his genital, threatening to castrate and emasculate him. But then changes her mind, covering it back with a towel. She didn't change her mind. She was never going to do it.
She's never going
to
do it.
Suanne then moves ahead to pumping Louis's blood from the fluid bag into his body through an IV attached to his right arm. Yeah,
she pumps dog blood into him.
Yeah, and then slashes his left wrist, leaving him to die. So basically she's transfusing his blood, taking out his human blood and putting in dog blood, which would kill you.
Yeah.
Duh. Maggie tells her mother the truth about Suanne, and Erica grounds her.
Yeah, Erica's pissed.
This is so bizarre. Erica's like, you're grounded, and that's it. And it's like...
I'm not gonna do anything else.
I'm not gonna do anything else about this lady who's fucking crazy. Okay, so anyway.
Your daughter's a teenager!
But okay.
This is Suanne's fault!
So anyway... Erica does end up seeing, they don't put this in, but Erica ends up confronting Ma at the liquor store and basically, like, is like, stay the fuck away from my daughter, you're crazy, like, what the hell, like, you're so insane, and then Ma says something along the lines of, like, I thought you maybe were different, but I can see now that you're exactly the same, and, like...
And to think I took care of Mercedes for you.
Yeah, and she's like, what the fuck? But she doesn't investigate it at all because everyone in this movie is stupid.
Stupid!
And then, anyway, that's the end of that for Erica.
Yeah.
So, Suanne sends Maggie a picture of herself with Andy in her basement and at Chaz's birthday party. Oh, also at one point... I think this might be the place, actually. She sneaks out of the house to confront him. Yeah, so she gets there.
Well, she also made Andy promise that he wasn't going to hang out at Ma's.
But he lied to her.
He lied to her and did go hang out at Ma's for Chaz's birthday.
When she goes to confront him and she's like, you promised you wouldn't come. He's basically like, calm down. Like, I had to lie to you.
It's Chaz's birthday. You would have freaked out.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes, I hate you. Which, by the way, this never comes up again because Andy and her, like, never talk for the rest of the movie. But I was like, I'm so mad. Like,
he just,
like, straight up lied to
her. He lied to her.
And they've only been dating for, like, a week.
And he's already lying to her.
I was like,
about, like, something serious. Like, she was like, I don't feel safe. Like, I don't feel that you're safe there, and I don't feel like that I'm safe there.
And he's like, she has cancer.
Like, my mom was weird by the end, too. And she's like, I really don't think Ma has cancer.
She's like, look, she literally tells him, she's like, we went to her house and we saw all these weird photos. Also, Haley's there, but Haley saw all that shit, too.
Yes.
Why would Haley go?
Because she's drugged. But I don't know why she would go in the first place,
though.
That's
why she gets drugged, but she was there. Like, why did any of them go? Like, this is what doesn't make sense. Haley and Maggie know the same information.
Yeah, they know that Suanne has been, like, cutting off the faces of their parents from yearbooks.
They know the same information. Multiple times Haley's like, we gotta stop going over there. And yet Haley's always there.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. It does not make any sense. So, anyway, like, whatever. Andy's a dumbass. And So when she arrives, she notices everyone has left and that only the original group remains. She tries to get Andy to leave, but soon realizes that Andy and the rest of her friends have all been drugged. Maggie tries to get help in the process finds Ben's body. As she stands there in horror, Sue Ann renders her unconscious. So another thing that I noticed, I was like, oh my god, another dumbass move from Maggie over here. She doesn't tell anyone where she's going.
No.
Despite the fact that she knows it's dangerous at this point.
Yeah, that Ma could kill her.
She knows that, yet still goes.
Mm-hmm.
Not telling anyone where she's going. Second, at Chaz, when he passes out, he drops a giant glass vodka bottle and mm-hmm. it shatters. And, like, you know how the neck always holds onto the glass and becomes... She doesn't take that.
No, it's a weapon.
I'm like, it's a weapon. Nope. Okay. Even though the basement door is locked.
Yeah, Ma, like, barricaded it, right?
They're locked in. She knows that something is wrong. She knows Ma's trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And...
What? Okay. She doesn't do anything?
Mm-mm.
She knows that her friends are drugged. She knows that Ma has locked them in there at this point. Mm-hmm. She knows that Ben is dead.
Yes. Well, she doesn't know Ben's dead yet before she doesn't take the weapon.
Oh, true.
But Ben is dead. And then by the time she realizes, too late. So Maggie awakens chained in the basement. Sue Ann irons Chaz's stomach.
Yeah, she like takes a hot iron and literally puts it on his tummy.
Sews Haley's mouth shut and paints Durrell's face white. This is the funniest.
Every time, it's so funny.
This is the funniest shit in the whole movie because it's like, oh my god, this gruesome.
Oh my god, she ironed Chaz's stomach. Oh my god, she just sewed Haley's mouth shut.
And then she like gets a paintbrush and she's like, sorry, Durrell, there can only be one of us. And just paints his face. I was like, okay, so all of them are gonna leave, and it's gonna be like, oh my god. Like, my chest is ruined. Oh my god, my mouth, it's forever fucked up. I have so many scars, and Durrell's gonna be like, I just have to wash my face.
I just have to wash this fucking paint off.
I was like, clearly Ma likes Durrell, but like, she's not obsessed with him, she just likes him.
Yeah, she's like, well, I'll just paint his face.
I can't hurt him. He's the only cool one. So Andy awakens and tries to seduce Sue Ann, as he is well aware that she is in love with him. This is something else I want to point out. This is maybe not the fault of Andy entirely, the actor, but also a fault of the way this was edited and the way it was shot. They don't make it seem like Andy's trying to seduce her. They don't make it seem like Andy knows and is trying to fix this. It's just, like, weirdly... Like, it seems genuine.
It seems genuine. It seems like
it's not genuine.
It seems like he really wants to fuck her. And you're it's like, really weird.
I know it's not genuine. I know it's not, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that it would be genuine.
But, like, they don't do a good job being like, it's not.
Like, it doesn't
It's a con.
Yeah, it does not read as if he's faking at all.
No. Too serious.
Very weird. Anyway, he and Ma make out.
Yeah, it a lot. It's gross.
For a long time. Yeah. Like, it goes on for a hot minute.
But then she stabs him, realizing he is lying. Realizing she knew he was lying.
She knew the whole time. It wasn't, even though it looked very genuine.
So she stabs him. Again, hilarious. Really? That Andy gets stabbed and Durrell's face. It's like, oh, so scary. Also, this is something else I don't like. In the trailer, they literally showed every single one of these things happening.
Yeah.
They showed her mouth getting shut. They showed his face getting painted. Mm-hmm. I thought surely something else is going to happen to him. No, it's just the paint.
Just the paint.
Okay. That makes... What? Why would you do that?
It's race solidarity, Alice.
I guess. She was like, can't hurt him, he's a brother. I was like, what?
Oh, just painted his face white. Mm-hmm. Everyone else literally either got murdered or maimed.
Yeah, but he got some white face paint. She goes, there can't be two of us.
It's pretty funny.
So stupid. So stupid.
I just imagine the aftermath of this, like, Durrell.
I know, everyone's like,
oh my god,
I'm dying. And Durrell's like,
I just gotta wash this off.
That's weird.
That's weird. Why did she do that? That's fucking weird.
Durrell's also like, I don't know.
I really don't know what happened, guys.
I promise I'm not in on this. Everyone thinks Durrell's in on it because they're like, why didn't she hurt you? She hurt all of us.
I really don't know, guys.
Durrell's like, guys, please. It's because of that slave ship joke I made. She loved that one. Even though she
didn't laugh at all.
Even though she literally got so mad after I said it. For no reason. Yeah. Hilarious. Also, this is like the big climactic scene. And it's like,
Pain face, pain face. Pain face.
So anyway, a police officer arrives.
The guy who doesn't like Ben.
Yes. He arrives because he sees a bunch of like cars. He's like, clearly there's been some underage drinking, yep, basically. And when Maggie screams for help, Sue-Ann shoots him dead before he can react. She then yells at Jeannie and is like, this is your
fault. This is your fault, Jeannie.
And Jeannie's like, I didn't do anything. And it doesn't make sense to me either why she would yell at her, but she does. She then gathers the four friends around the couch and makes Maggie take photo of them together in a crude recreation of the friendship Sue-Ann had always longed for but never had. This makes no sense. This makes no sense. She goes, she's like setting them up in positions. That's why she paints Darrell's face white, is because in the original group there was only one black person. Yeah. And Darrell can't be the black person now. Yeah. But she's not, they act like they're recreating a photo, but we're never shown a photo that looks like this.
No. Well, I don't think they're recreating a photo. I think she's recreating of what she wanted to happen with their parents.
Yeah, but she's just like, it has to be perfect. It has to look like this. And I'm like,
There's no source material, Mom.
For what reason?
I don't know. Anyway, very strange. So it doesn't make much sense, but she's trying to take a picture of all these living dolls, quote unquote, I guess.
Yes, and Maggie's the one taking the pics. Maggie's not hurt at all. I don't think Sue-Ann's made up her mind about Maggie.
Don't think she knows what to do
she's
yet.
She's like, I'm not sure about this Maggie girl yet. So, but then Maggie screamed for help and that made her mad. So then Sue-Ann then leaves Maggie to be hanged before Jeannie intervenes. I want to say, apparently Ma is so strong.
Yeah.
She hoists her body up with just her arms. Yeah. I was like, damn, Ma.
Yeah, Ma's like short as hell, and Maggie's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Maggie's skinny, but like, just hoist her
up.
Yeah,
just hoist her up.
And then she hangs for a long time before anyone wakes up or before anyone comes to help her. And I was like, this is weird.
This is very strange.
How is she not dead?
Yeah, I think she would like strangle herself by that point.
So everyone else wakes up to discover what Sue-Ann had done to them, but barely have time to react.
What is this on my face?
Everyone's like, ah, I'm in so much pain. Andy's like dying on the floor. And then Darrell's like, what's this?
What is this?
Why does my face feel so wet? Oh, it's paint. Weird.
Weird. Strange.
Darrell's like trying to help people, but he can't. Because they all have like those spiky dog collars on too.
Yeah.
And make it so you can't pull. So anyway, Jeannie comes in and helps them all. She smacks Ma in the face with a cast iron frying pan.
Yeah, she does.
Ma tumbles down, but her like cardigan catches fire.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow she doesn't catch fire. Just the house.
Just the house.
But Ma's fine. But her cardigan is what caught the house on fire.
Even though she's the source of the ignition.
But she's fine. Just the house is on fire.
Yeah.
I guess she got out of the cardigan. Really
anyway.
they barely have time to react because the house is on fire and they need to find a way out. Erica, knowing where Maggie would be, calls her coworker Stu for help to save the
day. Stu is the best part of the whole damn movie.
He should be in it 10 times more
than Oh my god, he's incredible. He's like this, like, kind of hulking, gay, southern man.
I love him.
And I love him. He's amazing.
He's so fun.
He's a great friend to Erica.
He's a great friend to all.
He is. He's awesome. He's a hero.
He is a hero. Anyway, Stu comes pick her up because she doesn't have a car.
Yeah, he's like, where is she?
Yeah, and they go, he's like, don't worry, honey.
Don't worry, honey. We're going to get her. I promise.
And you go, and they do. Stu follows through. So they save the teenagers. Sue-Ann attempts to throw Jeannie into the fire, blaming Erica for not stopping Ben from pulling the prank in high school. This is a very bizarre scene, because Erica's like, I'm sorry, Sue-Ann. And she's like, it's too late. And she's like, please.
And she's like holding Maggie. She's holding Maggie back.
And yeah, but like not really.
Not really.
She's
then,
just like touching her.
I know, it's like, Maggie, you could get away.
And then Jeannie's like, she's about to like kill Jeannie. She's like, I love you, baby. And Jeannie's like, what's going on?
Please help. Oh my god.
She's like, someone, please. The flames aren't that high. I'm like, get me. But I don't really understand. But anyway, Maggie saves Jeannie by stabbing Sue-Ann.
I'm not my mom. And I'm not weak.
Yeah, I was like, what a terrible ass line. So the group goes outside and asks what happened. Sue-Ann walks upstairs and lies down next to Ben's corpse, cuddling with it as the house burns, which I don't understand. Also, she can just walk out of the house.
Don't get it.
She has the key to the front door, presumably.
Well, I mean, I guess she just wants to die.
Yeah, she's like, there's no coming back after this.
Yeah.
Let me go lay down next to the dead corpse of this man I love, hate.
Who, you know, arranged my sexual assault.
Yeah, for fun. For his
pleasure. Yeah.
Ha, oh, I love him. He's so hot. That's the end. This movie makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Very weird. Very strange.
Let me get my notes.
I didn't really like it. Had, like, a couple jump scares.
Yeah, but not even
really. Not even really. Octavia Spencer was really good.
The most, like, thrilling part was, like, oh my god, when they're in the house and it's like, oh, is Ma home?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and, okay. This movie, for one, so tropey.
Oh my god, yeah.
They just moved. Also, I love this. She's like, when they move, her mom's like, you'll be fine. She's like, yeah, it's a big school, so I'm sure. And then, like, the very first thing anybody says to her is like, yeah, this is a small town. There's nothing to do. And I was like, but she just said it was a really big school. And they moved from where, like?
L.A. They moved from L.A.
Yeah, San Diego.
Yeah, or, yeah, I'm like, California.
I'm like, you moved from San Diego and you think this is a big school?
You're in Ohio.
Where in San Diego? That's a huge city.
Yeah, the school in Ohio is actually way bigger.
I also want to say, the price of living between San Diego and buttfuck nowhere, Ohio. San Diego is like one of the most expensive places to live in the entire United States. Mm-hmm. How much money did her dad have, and why don't they have any of it?
Yeah.
Because her mom now works as a casino attendant.
Yeah. Did she not get any money in the divorce?
They live in the equivalent of like a mobile home. They have one car, no possessions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hold on. What?
How did this happen?
The kid.
Yeah, he would have obviously had to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have custody, he has to pay you.
How?
What? And he obviously has money because you lived in fucking San Diego.
Yeah, you lived in like the most expensive place in the entire United States to live, like aside from like New York. Like, let's just look up the cost of living of LA. Okay. Oh no, I typed the wrong thing. Here we go. Cost of living. I'm going to San Diego. San Diego.
Rent, $1,970.
Yes. So, the average monthly costs are $2,665 a month. Let's do the cost of living.
Rural Ohio.
Let's see. We'll just do Ohio. This is like, let's do Cleveland. That's still a big city, which is, this is not Cleveland, Ohio, but I guarantee it's cheaper. Cost of living Cleveland, Ohio. Ugh, why do you do this? Why don't you give me the same things? Average monthly cost of living in Cleveland, Ohio. Ugh, this is a family of four. Okay, single person, which is what the San Diego one was, is $1,000 a month.
So $1,500 less.
Yeah. Like, two times as much to live in San Diego. And this is also Cleveland, which is, like, the big city in Ohio.
But this is obviously, like, Podunk, Ohio.
Yes. So, a little confused. I have some notes. I just took some notes, like,
what the hell is going on?
There's a great scene where the bell happens for the first time, and she's like, bell? I don't know bells.
There's not bells in San Diego.
In San Diego, the Hannah Montana theme song music comes on. Yeah, it's like, it's all the transition music from Hannah Montana. That's what we migrate different classes to. That's what we do. this bell sound is so shrill. What a weird job to give her mom.
I know, and like the uniform they have her dressed in.
I was like, it's not sexy.
It's not, it's very strange. I think it's mostly just so she can run into Mercedes.
That could happen literally anywhere.
She could have just been a bartender.
She could have worked at a store. It's a small town, right?
Yeah.
It's the first day of school. She's eating lunch in the library. A bunch of kids come up and assault her and are basically like, you're going to hang out with us. And she's like, I don't know who you are. And they're like, oh, you're a loser then? Okay. And she's like, I mean, I'm just busy. Like, I just moved here today. And you're like assuming... I don't know who you are at all. And then her plans get canceled. She's like, I guess I'll hang out with those awful people. Okay. I love this. Takes one bite of a pizza, puts it down.
Yes.
My favorite trope. All people who write these movies have never met a teenager.
No, never.
They've never been a teenager. I also like that when they're at the liquor store, they make the black kid do it first, try and solicit people for the alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm like, that went... good.
That'd been great in rural Ohio. That's a great idea.
I just keep writing, Maggie, these don't really seem like good kids.
Right? They're bad.
She said she's from a big school, but she's from San Diego. This is the first time I noticed that Andy looks and sounds like an actual child.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's so mean to Ma.
Yeah, for
like,
no reason.
She'll be, like, saying something actually nice or actually insightful, and they'll be like, Jesus Christ, Ma, what a stupid fucking loser. And
yeah.
And she's like, okay, that's mean. And they're like, oh my God, Ma, you're so sensitive. And she's
whatever,
like...
She was, like, telling Maggie, like, you better be careful, you know, use protection or something like that. She was like, God, Ma, you sound like my mom.
I know, I was like, what?
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 She's literally
saying a nice thing.
Like, she's not being weird. She's literally just telling you advice. Like,
having
what are you talking
actual
about?
Real conversation with you.
Where she's not just buying you alcohol.
But they don't like her.
No.
They never want to, like, actually get to know her.
Yeah.
Yeah, very weird. But also, Ma weirdly takes things like the slave ship joke that Jor-El makes.
She, like, gets really mad.
She gets really mad, and I'm like, what? That's a good joke.
Yeah, when they were talking about,
he had to write a paper on, like, the shipping routes from Africa,
and then he was like, with all of our people in the belly of those ships, right, Ma?
Yeah, he was like, well, we know it's on those ships.
Yeah, and she was like,
yeah, she was like, shut up.
Yeah, really pissed.
And
he was like, what?
Or the part where, this is what I wrote. I wrote, boy, I will smack your ass the next week talking to me like that. What the fuck? It was when Chaz, the first time they're in her basement, and he's like, I thought you wanted to be cool. You can't. She's like, I don't have unlimited money to, like, just make this basement nice for you. And he's like, I guess you're a fucking loser for not having money to give us a cool basement. These people that you just met yesterday.
And then
she pulls out a gun and makes him strip. And I was like, yeah, what the fuck? What the hell? Why would you say that?
You know, you could really make this place cool, Ma.
I know. I mean, look, it's like, oh, that's cool to, like, talk about. I mean, yeah. You don't know this lady at all.
Yeah, like, but it's like, oh, you know what you could do, though?
Yeah, but then when she's like, haha, when I win the lottery. And he's like, wow, I guess you're just a poor. And I'm like, where are you
doing? What?
Where are you drinking? In a basement for free, bitch. But also, Ma inviting the kids over to her house is very much like teachers trying to be cool and inviting students over to their house energy for me. Also, the songs that they play at the parties.
Won't you take me to Funky Town?
I was like, is that supposed to be cool? It's not.
It's not. It just makes me think of Shrek 2.
I also like how every single person leaves at the exact same time from the party.
Yeah.
And it's always when the main character leaves. Always. Everyone's like, oh, party's over. Time to go. One person left. Very weird. I just keep talking about why everyone's so mean to her. Then I said something like, Ma should just get a different haircut.
Truly.
And lots of things would work out for her. The Christian girl, very weird.
Very weird. She goes to the parties, and she pretends to be asleep, so she doesn't have to drink. It's very weird, but then, like, she starts getting into it at some point.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's really weird. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Everyone in this acts like a weird caricature of someone, but I'm not sure who. At one point, Maggie's phone is, like, blowing up, but then she looks at her screen, and it's just one text.
Yeah.
It's like, ding, 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 ding. And then she opens it and it's just one text on her screen. And I was like, why would it ding 800 times if you have one text? Okay. And then I said, Munchausen's by proxy, question mark?
Yeah, they just bring in Munchausen by proxy, like, out of nowhere.
For no reason.
For no reason, and they never address it again.
It doesn't really make sense, because you're like, oh, she's keeping Jeannie away because she doesn't want her to go through what she did in high school. She, like, doesn't think that Jeannie will be accepted.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, but you bring the kids
to your house.
And also, like, what's the point of the Munchausen's by proxying? Because you're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah, it would make sense if you sent her to school in a wheelchair because you were having Munchausen by proxy.
But she doesn't even tell people that she's her mom. It's like a secret.
Yeah, the Munchausen by proxy angle doesn't really make sense.
And
other
why
than
does
her...
she make her do it in the house?
Yeah.
Because, like, what is that? Matter.
It's very weird.
It's just supposed to be like, oh, look how crazy she is. But it's like, that doesn't make sense. That's not like an effect of any kind of disorder ever.
No.
Like, she makes her take, I know why she makes her, like, lie to herself when she's sick, so she can drug her, so she can do stuff without her being around.
Yeah.
But that just sounds more to me like a mom who doesn't want her kid, which actually does fit with Ma a lot, because she clearly doesn't want her kid.
Yeah.
But then
the Munchausen by proxy thing is usually because she would want sympathy or attention, but she's not getting any of that because she's not letting Jeannie go out.
Yeah,
because
she hides it. And then, like, also, I just don't really understand at all.
No.
Like, what she's mean to Jeannie too. It's not, she's like, she does so much stuff.
Where she doesn't like dote over Jeannie.
Yeah, she does so much stuff where she's like, oh my god, Jeannie, I love you, and that's what I have to do. She tries to, like, annihilate her family because mm-hmm. she's like, oh, I love Jeannie and we're going down together. But it's like, that again doesn't make sense because she doesn't love Jeannie.
No.
And it's not just a power thing. She's like, not, she barely interacts with her.
Yeah, she just comes up and gives her a shot and leaves to go party with the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird.
Also, I wish we got some more background on Jeannie's dad.
Yeah, who is Jeannie's dad? I mean, she mentions, like, my husband left a while ago.
But, like, yeah, but why?
But why?
What happened? It doesn't make any sense. Just so much stuff. Oh, I also like, this is my favorite, one of my favorite lines, when Maggie's like, Mom, don't call Ben, Andy's the most innocent one of all of
us. Oh my god, that was so fucking funny! Ah! He's the most innocent one of all of us. How?
I was like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Ugh.
Also, there's a point when they're all, when Erica's yelling at Maggie, and I'm like, hello, your dog is dying? Does anyone want to focus on that? The dog? Hello? Yeah. Just so much of, oh, also there's a point, her mom wakes up to get in the shower, and she's still wearing all of her makeup.
Yes! She doesn't, didn't take off any of her makeup.
Did her mom ever take off that makeup? Guess not.
Guess not. We don't see it at any point in the movie, at least.
Yeah. Just, like, a lot, just, that's always, like, my last, before we, stuff we haven't already talked about, but, what? This movie makes no sense. They're like, it's a revenge movie, it's also a stalker movie.
It's also a Munchausen by Proxy movie.
It's also a Munchausen by Proxy movie. That's it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't really know what it is.
Is it a stalker movie, or is it a revenge movie? Because her revenge is kind of bad, because she's kind of bad at being a stalker.
Yeah, so she's kind of not good at either of the things that they're trying to do.
Yeah, it seems like they were just like, I want a movie where she's crazy.
She's motherfucking crazy, dude.
And that was it. And they were like, I don't care how we get there.
I just watched another stalker movie recently called Greta, and it was very good. It had Chloe Grace Moretz in it as the stalker victim.
Nice.
And it made a lot more sense than this movie.
Yeah, I really like stalker movies usually, but
me
this
too.
Is like...
Stalker movies are really hard to do poorly, I think, just because the source material is so scary on its own.
Yeah.
But they just tried to make it so many different things in this that it didn't
work. It's not really a stalker movie.
It's not. It's more, it's like trying to...
But it's like, here's the thing too, I'm like, was she even gonna get revenge in the beginning? Like, at the beginning, it seems like she was just obsessed with the kids, and then when they made her mad and reminded her of high school, that's when she decided to get revenge on them.
Yeah.
But then there's also, like, a certain level of, like, planning that just happens through the movie where I'm like, okay, then she must have had the intention for revenge the whole time. And yet...
It doesn't seem like that?
Because it's not, like, well thought out enough.
Yeah, it's very weird. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I have a couple of trivia items, and this is really interesting because we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. So the role of Sue-Ann was originally written for a white actress. Tate Taylor modified the script to better suit an African-American woman after he showed the script to Octavia Spencer, and she expressed interest in playing the role.
Yeah, okay, so this is a great... Well, I looked up some stuff about this movie, like, you know, just like you do, reviews, yeah. stuff like that. And a lot of the reviews, like, this kind of got weirdly high critical praise,
yeah.
which I don't know why.
I think they kind of misunderstood what
it's
was going on.
It's not good. No. It's not good. And the critical praise was like, this movie talks about sexism and racism.
It really
and
it's like subverts the idea
of like race and like, and it was, and they talked a lot about, they specifically talked a lot about two things, the slave ship joke and the painting of Darrell, his face.
Yeah.
And the line like, oh, there can only be one of us. And they basically said it like, oh, it's because she's like, we're both vying to be like, to please our white friends, mm-hmm. and we're trying to turn ourselves into white people, but, like, we're not white. And Darrell's, like, acknowledgement of that with the slave ship joke that they're not white pisses her off, and yeah. that, and I'm like, what? I think it's just that in the original group, there was only one black girl, and she's trying to recreate the original group, and therefore Darrell must be white.
Yeah, Darrell can't be there. She's the only person who can be black in that group.
I'm pretty sure that's the extent of the way this was thought through.
Yeah. And also,
and I think that's really proven when you look at the fact that this wasn't even written for a black person.
No.
To be like, this is such a statement on race. And
no.
It's like, no, it's not. It wasn't written with that intention.
They went back and they critiqued a couple things with, like, the slave ship joke
mm-hmm.
and the painting his face white.
Well, it's like,
what would have happened to him originally?
I don't know. I don't know. I think clearly Darrell was always intended to be black. And then when there was going to be two black people, they were like, well, that's not going to work for the dynamic.
As Hollywood does.
They're like, oh, we can't have two black people.
Two is a little bit much. There's a whole episode of Always Sunny about that.
That's real. That's a real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That really does happen to people. Where yeah. they're like, no, we can't have, like, two people of color, because then we'll become, like, the people of color.
That's what they do about
that's
on it.
That's really true. That yeah. really happens.
Yeah.
I read an interview once with these, I think it was this, like, pilot for a show. I don't think it went on, but it was, like, these three guys, and they were roommates. And they wanted, like, one Indian guy, and then one white guy and one black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, that's like what the call was. Well, these two Indian guys showed up, and they were both really good, and they were really good mm-hmm. friends, and one of their friends got it. And so he like ended up just like, he was there because his friend was like in the thing, and they were like, oh, just so you know, like you were so good, like we really wanted to cast you. And he was like, well then like, why didn't you cast me? Mm-hmm. Like if you really wanted to
if
cast me.
If you really
me,
wanted to, then why
like
not?
We could both be in it.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we can't have two Indian guys in the show. And he was like, why? And he was like, because then we'll become like the show with the Indian guys.
Gross. The sequence involving Sue-Ann noticing the porcelain cat statues have been moved as an homage to a similar sequence in Misery. Yeah. The three-legged dog that Mom walks in front of the liquor store is owned by a veterinarian that works at the clinic where all the interior vet clinic scenes were filmed.
Aw.
Yeah. Although not filmed in Ohio, there are several clues to indicate that the film takes place in Northeast Ohio. First, all of the local vehicles have Ohio license plates.
Good. Good. Yep, that's
yep,
good.
Yep.
That's basic movie stuff. maybe we should give the light. If we're going to set it in a place, we should make sure everyone's actually in that place. Good. I like that we're like, that's a fact about a movie. And you're like, every movie does that. That's just called continuity.
There's really not much other than... This guy did the help.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
This is why I think everyone's like, this is a race movie, because he did the help.
Right? And even though the help is a white savior movie?
And there's a black person in this. And you're like, okay.
Okay, I mean, a black person just being in the movie doesn't necessarily make the movie about race. You know, a person of color can be in a film that's not about race.
Not for the white... film critics of Hollywood.
True.
I gotta, any movie that has a black lead, I have to be like, oh my god, the critique on race here is out of this world. They acknowledge that they're black, the critique on race is out of this world. And you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. I don't like this movie.
I don't either.
It's just not, it's so predictable. It's everything.
And not in a fun way like
they
Run
showed
is.
They showed everything in the trailer.
Yeah.
They just, it's like, oh my god. How did this
do well.
How did this get made, first of all? How did this do well?
The critics, I don't know. Some of the critics were good, but, like, most of the, it was very, like, mixed reviews. Like, very, like, moderately received. Everyone's like, this is okay. I don't even think it's that.
I don't think it's okay.
I think it's bad.
I think it's bad, too. What would you give it?
4.
I don't think, I give it like a 3. I didn't like it more than An American Crime. And we gave American Crime 3.
That's true. Yeah, but this movie isn't like offensive to me like An American Crime was. Like, Octavia Spencer does really good. The acting is not bad. The storyline is okay.
Yeah.
It's an interesting premise. It's enough that I wanted to watch it. Yeah. But then it just doesn't.
The writing is just so bad.
It's just all over the place. Yeah. All over the place. It can't decide what it wants to be. I just don't know.
Yeah. Probably a 4, I guess, then.
Yeah, she's really good.
She is really good.
And, like, the girl that played Jeannie was pretty good. But it's just, like, very, like, flat movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Ugh. Boo. Okay, let's read some reviews.
Yes.
I like this one. 7 out of 10.
Oh my god.
Everybody was kung fu farting. Stupid. I think I'm becoming a grumpy old man because I'm pretty sure I hate teenagers now. The film itself was written very well. No.
No.
And the cast were all good.
Not all.
But there wasn't enough suspense. It isn't a bad movie by any means.
It's a bad movie.
It just had the budget, cast, and crew to be better. The story is a slow burn. When it actually gets down to the nitty gritty, not really a slow burn. More just like...
We know that Ma's like a stalker within the first like 30 minutes of the film.
Less than. Literally like the first time you meet her, you're like, okay. When it actually gets down to the nitty gritty, things become interesting, even if it is predictable and there are those expected moments where all logic and reason goes out of the window so the story can progress. Sorry, Ma, but I think it's time to put you in a home. Here's the thing. When people say that, they're like, oh, you know those things in movies where you'd have to not care about logic or reason at all to advance the plot? And you're like, well, then maybe the plot isn't that good. Like, maybe if this logically makes no sense and no one would ever do this... then maybe it's gonna not be that good of a plot. Like, maybe we should...
maybe that means it's not good.
Maybe we should rethink this in a way where it does make sense.
It's like when you're reading, like, an article to write a paper, and the article's so hard to understand, and it's like, maybe it's just so... they're so smart that I'm just... it's so hard to understand. No, it's just bad writing.
It's bad writing.
It's bad... It should be easy to understand. It's just that they're not doing a good job of writing it.
This is something else I always think. Like, if I was gonna rewrite this movie, how would I fix this? This is what I would do. I would, first off, scrap the revenge shit. That has to go away. That's not going to be part of this movie. Here's what's going to happen. We'll keep the Su-Ann was desperate to fit in angle.
Yes.
We're going to scrap the assault. That doesn't make any sense for why she's still so obsessed with these people.
Mm-hmm.
These people horribly hurt her. Scrapped.
Yeah.
Then, we're going to scrap... the Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah, just get rid of it.
That's going away.
So we have a stalker movie.
It's a stalker movie now. She becomes obsessed with these kids because she was obsessed with their parents.
Yes.
This way their parents can still be in the movie. They're a good part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's obsessed with these kids because she's obsessed with their parents. She starts stalking them. The kids are entranced by her gifts, her alcohol, her cool basement, and her pizza rolls, all of that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the parents are gonna be noticing that weird stuff is happening. Mm-hmm. You can still have Maggie as your lead. She can still be like, I'm not cool with this.
Yeah. She can still be sexually obsessed with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had a crush on her dad, on his dad in high school.
Yes. She can still be obsessed with Andy because she had a crush on her dad. She can not like Maggie. Because she's dating Andy. That's fine. All of that tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then for like the basement scene, she can drug them. She can still be stealing their stuff
mm-hmm.
because she's obsessed with them though. Because she wants to be like them.
She wants to be like them. Yeah.
And then you can have her try to cut out Maggie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it should be, is her trying to cut out Maggie. Mm-hmm. And then maybe something happens where, like, they all block her and they spurn her and they kind mm-hmm. of realize what's going on. And then she becomes crazy. Then you can have the cancer thing where they all feel really bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she can drug them all and do the bad stuff. And then who saves them this time? I don't know. Maybe their parents save them.
Yeah. Stu
saves them. That's what happens. Actually what happens. I don't think it really makes that much sense. Jeannie really just seems like she's put in the film to save Maggie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you could have, like, if you really needed Jeannie in there, so, because there is, like, that at the beginning, that kind of, like, oh, does she have someone trapped in her house thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if that's what you want to do, you could still have her, but maybe she could be, like, abused or something. Yeah. Like, maybe she thinks that she ruined her life or mm-hmm. something. Maybe she could have become pregnant in high school.
Yeah.
And, like, Jeannie ruined her life, or, like, in college or something mm-hmm. like that. Or maybe she didn't go to college because she got pregnant with Jeannie.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what happened. That's okay. That can happen. And then you could still have Jeannie in there, and it would still make sense why she turns against Ma.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make sense why they've never seen her. But it doesn't make sense that she just has Munchausen. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Weird movie. Bad movie. Not good.
That's basically it.
Bad movie.
Doing too much.
Trying to be more than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening. I don't know what we're doing next week.
Me either. We'll decide.
We'll decide. We'll post about it.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Bye.